And I got a quick message I'm going to share. I'm going to talk for about 15 minutes to an hour, and then we'll be out of here. No, if you got your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 2. And man, how many of you guys heard Pastor Eric's message from last week? Wasn't that a good word about being unmasked? Man, I really appreciate him opening up his heart and sharing what God had for him, had for us, man. And so we're kind of doing some different things this summer and hearing from some different voices. Don't forget, in 2 weeks, we are 2 weeks away from our next outdoor service. And there's still invite cards. Grab your invite cards. Invite people who don't normally come to church. We are 100% believe in God for souls in those services. Amen. Yeah, so we're collecting school supplies. We're going to do a school supply giveaway as a part of this outdoor service. And we're just going to believe God to meet the need and to move miraculously. Today, I want to talk from Acts chapter 2 for just a second. Acts chapter 2. Now, all you people from non-spirit-filled and Pentecostal backgrounds, don't freak out. We're not talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost this morning, okay? I know when you hear Acts chapter 2, you're like, oh! No, that's not what we're doing. We're going to go somewhere different today. But Acts chapter 2. Verse 41, we're gonna look at Acts chapter 2, verse 20, Acts chapter 2, verse 41, and I'm going to read verse 47. Listen to this real quick. It says, those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day about 3,000 in all. Everybody say 3,000. Then skip down a few verses to Acts chapter 2 in verse 47, and it says, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of the people, and each day, everybody say each day. Each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved, okay? In one moment, 3,000 people gave their lives to the Lord. And then in just a few verses later, we see that what was happening in this first century church in the book of Acts was that people were daily being saved. People were daily being added to the family of God, and people were daily coming to Christ. And I just want to make sure that before I go any further that I'm in the right place this morning. Do we still believe in the year 2019 that even right here in Franklin County in Brookville, Indiana, does God still want to save people and introduce them to the saving grace of Jesus Christ on a regular basis? Amen. Okay, good. I want to make sure that we're all on the same page there, because the reality is this, guys. The whole reason that we are here, yes, we want to grow in our walks. Yes, we want to know God. Yes, we want to encounter His presence, and we want to become everything that He's called us to be. But that is all a byproduct of the number one reason that we're here, and that is to see people come to a faith and a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, that is really what it's all about, is people being added to the Lord's number, people being added to the fellowship of God, people meeting Jesus. We can dress it up, we can call it cute names, we can think of cute acronyms like RED, reaching, encouraging, and discipling, but you strip away all the cuteness, all the stuff. Listen, it's about bringing people to Jesus. Amen. That is what we're here to do. Come on, somebody. Do we still believe God can save 3,000 people in one day? Do we still believe God wants to save people on a daily basis? Amen. Well, then let's pray and dig in a little bit here. Father, we love you. We thank you for your presence here today, Lord. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak to us, minister to us. God, I pray you help me to teach as clearly and concisely, God, what you've laid on my heart to share today. God, thank you for every testimony, Lord, that we've heard and the many, many more that we haven't heard from the past week. Father God, I thank you for the fruit of that coming to the forefront, Lord, as the days and weeks and even years go by. Father God, I thank you for the opportunity that we've had to send our students and to send our leaders out on that experience. Father, I just thank you for everything taking place, everything happening right now. And I pray, God, that you speak to us in a powerful, precious way. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Okay, so just a little bit of context of those verses I read. Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost happens. The Holy Spirit shows up in the upper room. Jesus tells his disciples after he's resurrected, before he ascends into heaven, he says, I want you to wait in the upper room until the promise of the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And then he says, you will be my witnesses in Judea, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the othermost part of the earth. So the Bible says that Jesus is raised up in Acts chapter 1. And then we don't know how long, probably for a period of about a month, we believe by history, that the disciples gathered together in what was known as the upper room. It was just an upstairs level of a guy's house who was part of the church, and they did exactly what Jesus said. Jesus said, wait till this thing, the Holy Spirit, comes. They didn't really know what that meant. They were just kind of sitting around waiting. The Bible says they stayed. In Acts chapter 2, they were praying, they were worshiping, they were seeking God. All of a sudden, a mighty rushing wind comes into the room, tongues of fire on people's heads. People start speaking in tongues. They stumble out of the street. The guys look like they're drunk. A crowd gathers, and a bunch of people are going, man, these dudes are drunk. Look, it's like 10 in the morning. These guys are really partying. And then the Bible says that Peter in that moment stands up, and he delivers a message and calls people to repentance and calls people to put their faith and their trust in Jesus. And that's what leads us to that first verse, verse 41, where Peter says, Peter preaches a message, invites people to Jesus, and 3,000 people, listen, 3,000 people, no Facebook, no advertisements, not even a loudspeaker or electricity. Peter delivers a message that 3,000 people are able to hear and give their lives to Jesus. That was the birth, that was really the start of the church, this thing that we call the church, and one of the reasons that we're gathered here today, this morning, 2,000 years later, okay? And we see a few verses later that was more, that the beginning of the church, listen, was not just a one-time event, it was not just a one-time, man, that was great, it was not just a one-time mission trip or one-time revival or a one-time moment that took place, because what we see a few verses later is that people were daily, every day, being added to the Lord's number. Daily, God was using this group of people to reach out from their own four walls and bring people to a relationship and bring people to the knowledge of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And let me just say something to you. Everyone listen to me right now. Listen to me. Jesus, serving Jesus, knowing Jesus, salvation, listen now, it is not just a one-time event. Amen. Amen. What I believe God wants to do in me, in you, and through us together, God doesn't want us to just have a big one-time event that we can all look back on for the rest of our lives and go, man, wasn't that great when God moved mightily? That was an awesome moment. Yes, there are moments that the waters rise and God just seems to explode. But I believe what God really wants to do is a sustainable, every day, every week, every month, people coming to faith in Jesus through the work of His church. Amen. And that's what we are, His church, right here in Brookville, Indiana, thousands of miles and thousands of years removed from this first moment. I believe God still wants to do a daily work through us. Amen? Amen? Now, in between verse 41, the one time 3,000 people coming into the church, and this sustainable daily habit of the church being used to reach people and people come to Jesus, in between those verses, we're going to kind of zero in, because I believe what we're going to see is we're going to find out a little bit about the environment and a little bit about the atmosphere that led from the church being a one-time big bang type moment to a sustainable daily revival that took place over the course of many, many, many years and has led us here to this moment before. Let's take a look at the atmosphere, because I find myself, I don't know about you, but I find myself when I look at amazing things and I look at miracles, even when I look at people that are doing extraordinary things, even whether it's godly things or even secular things, I'm always drawn to the, not just the thing that they're doing, but I'm always drawn to the atmosphere and the environment that led to that thing. Anybody else? Like I get fascinated, you know, I love the stats of like a Michael Jordan and to talk about his NBA championships and all of his accolades and all the points that he scored and all the amazing moments. I mean, I can remember as a kid, maybe some of you remember, do you remember the NBA finals when Jordan, I can't remember who the team they were playing. I want to say it was Chicago. It might have been Chicago and the Lakers. But remember the game, it was like a game 5, a game 6 where Jordan had the flu. Remember that game? Back in the early 90s, Michael Jordan had the flu. He had a temperature of like 103 degrees, and they didn't even know that he was going to play or not. But all of a sudden, his team needed him. He showed up and had one of the most unbelievable games ever. So that's amazing. That's an amazing moment. But what I get drawn to is the atmosphere and the environment that created that moment, that created that drive, the work ethic that created Michael Jordan to be able to push through that. Those are the kind of things I find. And even in Scripture, I find myself a lot of times not just looking at the miracle and going, wow, that was awesome, but I like to look around the miracle and say, okay, what was in the environment? What was the atmosphere like? What created the right set of circumstances for that thing to happen? Because if I can drill down and if I can discover a right part of the atmosphere and the environment, I might be able to discover something that I can create around my life or around our church that will allow the same thing that happened here to happen here. Amen, somebody? Because here's the reality, guys, and we all know this. Good seed will not produce in a bad environment. Good seed can't produce in a bad environment. You can have the best, most genetically modified, scientifically engineered seed that's supposed to grow you the most amazing corn or watermelon or cantaloupe or strawberry or tomato or whatever you're trying to plant. Listen, you can have the most unbelievable seed on the earth, but if you don't put that seed into the right atmosphere, it ain't going to produce. Amen? We're seeing that. We're seeing that this year, aren't we, Daryl? The importance of the atmosphere, man. We need to pray for our farmers. Pray for those families that do that, because it's going to be a rough year by most people's expectations. Because why? The atmosphere wasn't right. We had way too much rain early on this year. Amen. It's like an amazing thing. We need a lot of rain, but we don't need too much rain. Too much rain produces a bad environment. Good seed can't produce in a bad environment. Amen. And so I want to just draw our attention for just a few minutes to the environment that led to this idea of people daily being added to the church, daily people being saved. And we find it right after this 3,000 moment in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says this. It says, all the believers, say all the believers. How many of them? How many of them? All of them. Now, I know how to look up the original Greek, and I can tell you what that means in the original Greek. You know what all means in the original Greek language? It means all of them. It means 100% participation. All the believers, I want to preach right there, but I can't. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. So there were four things in the atmosphere that moved the first church from a one-time revival type event to a sustainable daily, weekly, monthly, yearly situation where they were adding people to the Lord. There's four things in the environment. The four things in the environment is very simple. Four things in this atmosphere that developed this. It was the apostles' teaching, so the preaching of the word of God. It was fellowship. It was the breaking of bread or sharing a meal together, the Lord's Supper, and it was prayer, okay? Now, I want to point out something to you that I found very, very interesting here. Listen. Notice that out of those four things, the apostles' teaching, preaching, the word, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer, look at this. Half of those items are spiritual. Half of them are relational. You have the apostles' teaching, preaching, the word of God, spiritual. You have prayer, spiritual. But then you have the fellowship, or hanging out, being friends, relationship with one another. And you have eating meals together, the Lord's prayer, or the Lord's Supper, the breaking of bread together. You have that there. Guess what? Half of the environment that created this sustainable moment, this sustainable move of God in the book of Acts, half of it had nothing to do with prayer or preaching, and it had everything to do. Half of it was based on the relationship and the community that was developed within the early church. And I gotta tell you, I've been in church a long time. How long? Does everybody say how long? I don't know, a long time. I don't know why I had you guys ask me that question. That was weird. I thought by the time you asked the question, I could think of something funny to say, and it didn't happen. Sorry. But I've been in church a long time. I've been in church really my whole life. I can't remember a time where I wasn't in church, okay? Some of my earliest memories are from church, okay? Listen, I got to tell you, I could not even begin to count. I could not count how many sermons I've heard about, well, bless God, if we want revival, we've got to get back to prayer. Listen, don't hear me. I believe in prayer. I believe prayer is an integral part of everything we do. Come on, somebody. Amen. Let me just tell you something about prayer, Red Life Church. Now, listen, don't get mad. Don't get convicted. Don't get condemned. This is not my intention. But I tell you, we have prayer every first Wednesday night of the month, okay? This past Wednesday, we had three people here for prayer. I know you're busy. I know. Listen, I'm not throwing stones. I'm not trying to sit here and make you feel bad. I'm just telling you, we could all use a little more heart for prayer. Come on, somebody. Okay, so I'm not against prayer. I'm not saying that it's not important. It is. It's one-fourth of the equation. Okay, but I've heard a million messages on how we want to see God move, we need to pray more. And that's probably true. I've heard a million messages on how, bless God, we got to get back to the Bible. We got to get back to the Word. We got to get back to preach. Listen, I'm all for biblical preaching. That's why, that's hopefully what I do. Okay? My point is, I've heard a million messages on prayer, a million messages on preaching. I can't remember, I could probably count on one hand the messages I've heard on the role that relationship and community plays in revival. That's right. But if I'm looking at the text right, half of it depends on it. Okay? See, I think that we are so keen to look for spiritual answers to figure out our problems, when sometimes the answer is not a spiritual one, sometimes the answer is not more prayer, sometimes the answer may not be more the Word, sometimes the answer might be the relationships that I'm surrounding myself with and that I'm pouring my time into. Maybe that might be what I need to get right and need to look at to have everything God's called me to have and to be what God's called me to be. Amen? I mean, I'm just looking at it. Fellowship, I mean, that means hanging out together, sharing, partnership, and the breaking of bread, having a meal together. Half, 50%. What does that tell you and me today? Here's what it tells you and me. It means that Christian community, Spirit-filled Christian community, is as big a part of following Jesus as prayer and the Bible. Now, I know you're going to be like, no, it's all about prayer and the Bible. That's all we need. Well, if that's all we need, how come that was only 50% of what it said they did? Right. Amen, somebody? Christian community, your friendships, your relationships, the people that you're spending your time with, okay? Being a part of the family of God, being a part of a local church, being planted in the house of God, it is as big a part of your walk with God and your development with Jesus as prayer and the Bible. You cannot separate these things. Amen? Okay? And so we read Acts chapter 2. And we talk about the tongues of fire and the wind of the Holy Spirit and the move of God and 3,000 people and all the, and we look in the book of Acts and we talk about the miracles and we talk about how they prayed, and when they prayed together in Acts 4, the place where they prayed was shaken, the floor shook, and we talk about Peter being miraculously escaped from prison. We talk about all the awesome spiritual miraculous stuff that, man, in the name of Jesus, I want to see that stuff too. But we sometimes, I think, miss and gloss over and skim over and don't think about that what led to a lot of that was the atmosphere, and a big chunk of that atmosphere was not spiritual in nature. It was relational in nature. It was community in nature. Amen, somebody? We know that they spoke in tongues. We know they laid hands on the sick. And we know about Peter's shadow healing people and raising people up. We know about Paul's handkerchiefs being put on sick beds and people. But we forget about the fact that not only did they have miracles working in their life, not only did they speak in tongues and do all this amazing spiritual stuff, but they also took the time to invest and to build real community, real friendships, real relationships. And those things were at the very center of the move of God that took place throughout the rest of the book of Acts, that's led us to this place where we're still following Jesus today, 2,000 years later. Amen? Amen? Let's look at a little bit about this community. The next few verses give us this. I'm going to read this quickly. Acts chapter 2, verse 43 says, a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs among us. So look at this. They make the atmosphere. They build the atmosphere. They see to the environment, the apostles' teaching, fellowship, sharing of meals, prayer, and guess what happens? Miracles take place. You see how that works? All the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. Let me just insert here real quick. You raise your eyebrows when a preacher such as myself might say to you, hey, God has called you to tithe. 10% of what God gives to you, you should put back into his hand. That belongs to God. Like, 10%? That sounds crazy. Hey, in the original church, they put everything in the bucket. It says they gave everything they had. So don't complain about 10%. All the believers met together. They shared everything they had. Verse 45, they sold their property. Listen, this is crazy. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together, there's that word again, together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper. Let me just insert again here. I don't have time to go to church once a week for an hour and a half. They went to the temple and had church every day. They worshiped together at the temple each day. Is that what it says? That's what it says. I'm just telling you what the book says. Met in homes for the Lord's Supper, shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Listen, I am going to submit to you that it was the atmosphere of community and relational involvement and engagement within the body of Christ that led from the church being a one-time, one big deal that God did to a daily sustainable movement that transformed the entire world. And I believe it had a lot less to do with, it wasn't just because they prayed a bunch and they preached a bunch, it was because they hung out together a bunch and were friends with one another and developed real Christian relationship with one another. That created all those four things working together, created the atmosphere for a move of God. They create the atmosphere and the Lord works. And I just want to ask this question. Could the thing that we might be missing not be prayer and more? Is the thing that we're missing maybe the thing that we need is not more prayer and more Bible and more preaching. Maybe the thing that we really need is more Christian relationships, more Christian community. Amen. Let me say it to you this way. The breakthrough you're looking for may not be found in more Bible, more church, or more prayer. It may be found in more community. It may be found in the relationships that you're allowing in your life. It may be found into the people you're spending your time with. Amen, somebody? Listen, you can pray and read the Bible all day long, but if you spend 90% of your time with people who are going to drag you down and tell you you're crazy and who you can't share any of those things that God's sharing about to you with, guess what? That's going to put a cap on you. It is. That's going to create an atmosphere that stunts and hinders your growth. Amen, somebody? So the breakthrough we're looking for may not be in more Bible, may not be in more church, may not be in more prayer. It may be in more genuine, authentic community. Amen? And this last thing I want to share before we take some time to help build and foster that community in this house. The atmosphere of Christian community, listen to me now, must be built intentionally and guarded constantly. Okay, community, that sense of community that creates an atmosphere where God moves sustainably, guess what? That doesn't happen on accident. That happens because I make a purpose. I purposefully, intentionally bring that into my life. So how do I do that? How do I make that happen intentionally? How can I be intentional about being that? Well, here's the first thing I got to do is when I come to church and get with my brothers and sisters in Christ, I've got to be willing to let my guard down. I've got to be willing to let my guard down and let myself actually be known by someone else. Well, that just feels kind of weird. Yeah, it does. I'm not going to tell you it doesn't. It feels absolutely weird. It feels absolutely awkward. In just a few moments, I'm going to invite you and I'm going to encourage you. And in fact, I might lock the doors and just make you. I'm not sure. But no, I'm not going to do that. But in just a moment, in just a few moments in this message, we're just going to have one of the most awkward, most uncomfortable moments that you will ever face in church because we're going to get together and take communion together in small groups, and you're going to be standing with some people that maybe you don't know. But guess what? That's the part of the intention now, isn't it? If I want to be a part, if I want to have that atmosphere in my life, and let me tell you something, as the leader and the one responsible for this house, I'm determined that we are going to have that type of environment at Red Life Church, somebody. Amen. Okay? It's too important. The mission's too important. God planted us here to see people saved. So we've got to do whatever we've got to do to have the right atmosphere to make that happen. Yeah. Come on, somebody. Yeah. So yes, I've got to be intentional. That means I've got to put myself in position. I've got to put myself in places where I can build relationships, okay? Where I can hang out. I might need to ask somebody out to lunch once in a while so I can get to know somebody else in church I don't know. Amen, somebody? What do I talk about? I don't know. You know, I don't, here, my wife, because she's like, she's like self-proclaimed, is like, I'm terrible at small talk. I don't like small talk situations. Here's the thing, and some of it can't be, I mean, I just talk to everybody, it doesn't bother me, but if you don't know what to talk about with somebody, here's, you know what everybody loves to talk about? Themselves. So just ask them about them. Where'd you grow up? Where are you from? How'd you and your wife meet? How'd you and your wife get divorced? I don't know. I mean, whatever. Whatever the situation is. Oh, don't lead with that. That's like for later on in the conversation, the relationship. Oh, goodness. Ask questions. People love to talk about themselves. They do. That's, I mean, most... That, I mean, listen. That's just the way it is. So just ask about other people. Ask about them. Ask about their kids. Amen, somebody. And is it weird? Yes. Is it uncomfortable? Yes. For a season. But if you can ever allow yourself to intentionally break through that awkwardness, break through that uncomfortability. Is that a word? If you can push through that, you'll break into a place where that relationship becomes valuable to you. And if you can push through that little awkwardness, guess what? The next time you're going through something, you'll have somebody to call to pray with you. If you can push through that, the next time that you're struggling with something, you'll have somebody you can text and ask a question to. Come on, somebody. And you'll have a partner. And you'll have somebody walking the road with you. And God will have an atmosphere that he can begin to move in. It also has to be guarded constantly. Guarded constantly. Do you know where the enemy attacks every church that God has a plan for? He attacks the relationships. He attacks the friendships. He wants you to be offended. He wants you to feel slighted. He wants you to feel upset. He wants you to think that everybody's talking about you. He wants you to get mad that you didn't get invited out to the thing. He wants you to do all those things. And I'm not condoning any of those things. I'm not saying any of those things are right. I'm not saying you haven't been wrong. I'm saying you've got to recognize. Listen, let me say it this way. The devil will let you pray till the cows come home. He will let us preach all day long. But you know where he will attack? Because he understands that that's only one part of the environment and the atmosphere that creates a place for God to move. So he will let you pray. He will let you fast and pray and worship and sing and do your thing. But man, when a group of people really begin to get connected, when a group of people really begin to let God move past their differences and say, you know what? There's something bigger going on here. God is bigger than all of us, and we got to do this thing together. Then the enemy will attack. So how do I guard against it? I've got to guard against it by deciding I'm not going to be offended. I'm not going to be offended. You might hurt my feelings, but I refuse to carry it. I don't care if I've got to go into a room and shout all day long and forgive. That's why Jesus said, you forgive 70 times 7 in a day, Peter. 490 times, okay? If you can count the 490 in 24 hours, guess what? Get a job. You need something else to do with your life, amen? That was the point, okay? So just don't be offended. Amen, somebody? How else do I guard against it? I guard against it by not being deciding and determining in Jesus' name that we are not going to be a clique. Amen. Amen. Listen, what I'm talking about is not, listen, clickiness is not of God and it's not what God's called us to do, okay? Well, Jesus had his 12. Yes, Jesus had 12 disciples. They were his best friends. Even within the 12, he had a group of three that he was even a little more closer to. And that's fine. You're going to be closer to people than you are to everybody else. Even in a congregation this size, you can't be best friends with everybody in this room. But the thing that separates a clique from a group is this. This is what you see in Jesus with his 12 and even the three, Peter, James, and John. He was constantly turning them around and saying, go out and reach more people. Go out and invite more people into the circle. And that's what separates a group from a clique. A clique says, we're going to look at each other because we're all great and we love each other and we're not inviting anyone else in. Amen. a group, a godly group, a Christian community, turns ourselves around and says, who else can we bring into this community? Who else can we bring into this circle? And we've got to guard against, we got to guard the community that God's called us to build by deciding we are not going to be a clique. Amen? We're not just going to be a group of just us, and we're not going to invite anybody else to be a part. Come on, somebody. That's how we guard against it. I'm not going to be offended. I'm not going to be a clique. Listen, I'm going to look past people's past.
That's right.
I'm going to look past people's past. That's how we guard it, and see their potential. Now, see, I think this is probably the thing that makes what God's called us to do in this size of community more difficult than it, at least this part of it. Church is church, and people are people, and kingdom work is hard everywhere. But one of the things that a lot of us will have to deal with is when people walk in the door, we went to high school with them. Come on, somebody. We might have had trouble with them. They might have talked about us. We might have talked about them. Okay? I've probably shared a story before. I remember one of the first ladies' events my mom led when we were not even in this building, and a whole bunch of ladies came, and one lady showed up, came up to the altar for prayer, and my mom told me later, she said, do you know this person? I was like, yeah, I recognize that name. And she's like, well, do you remember them from high school? And I was like, I remember them in high school. I don't, like, you know, we didn't hang out. Well, the girl told my mom when she was praying for her, she said, I promised myself I would never come to that church because your son was so mean to me in high school. She's still not here. She comes to the maybe ladies group once in a while. She doesn't come. So I'm sorry for whatever. Here's the thing. I don't even know what I did. You know, said be awesome, but I don't know. No, I'm just kidding. I'm sure that I was. Whatever she remembers, I'm sure that's true. You see what I'm saying? But we got to look past people's past and see their potential future in Christ if we're going to guard against it. Amen. We got to recognize that God is going to call us to reach some people that have talked about you and that have lied about you and that have done you wrong and done you dirty. God's going to call us to reach people that that you know all their business and all their junk and all their stuff. Come on, somebody. We're going to have to look past all that and recognize that they have a potential in Christ that outweighs anything from the past. Amen? That's how we're going to guard against it. I'm not going to be offended. I'm going to look past the past. We're not going to be cliques. We've got to guard against it constantly, and we've got to go after it intentionally. We have got to create the right atmosphere. And that atmosphere, listen, when I say atmosphere, you can go and start playing that song. When I say atmosphere, that means more than just the lighting and the type of songs we sing and the type of messages we hear. Amen? Because you can feel. How many have you ever walked into a room when two people were fighting and you didn't hear the fight, but you walked in and you were like, ooh, there's something happening here. You know what I mean? You ever walked into a room when two people were, you know, in love with each other and, you know, you could tell they were like, you know, ready for you to leave the room and you'd like, what's awesome is that my kids are at like my kids are getting to the age where they're beginning to recognize that part of me and Luann's relationship. You know what I mean? They're like, you guys are looking at each other. Like, we're like, that's right. That look is why you exist today, kid. You're welcome. Oh. One of my great joys is embarrassing my daughter to the point that she's a little hiding under the chair back there. Sorry, sweetheart. But what I'm saying is that's an atmosphere. That's an atmosphere. You can feel that. People who don't know Jesus. Listen. This is so important. People who are running from God or don't know Jesus or who have decided church is not for them. Listen, Red Life, this is so important for us. This is me as your pastor just sharing something with you from my heart. They will buy into the atmosphere they feel before they ever buy into the message that we preach.
Amen.
And if we're just going to be a group of little cliques, you know, clicky little, you know, and I'm not saying that we are. I'm just saying if we don't guard against it and aren't aware of it, if we're just going to be a little group of people that, you know, we just kind of show up every Sunday morning and you know, hear a good word and, you know, have some laughs and sing some good songs, that's not gonna see people added to the Lord daily.
That's right.
Oh, we might even have some great events. We might even have some big moments. I'm not after a big moment. I'm not after a flash in the pan. I'm after 20 years down the road. People are still coming to Jesus, knowing Jesus, worshiping Jesus, growing in their walk with Jesus. At Red Life Church in Franklin County, Indiana. Amen? The only way to have that is to create the atmosphere. To create the environment. I'm way past the time I wanted to be done. I'm sorry. I appreciate you two or three that don't mind, but others don't. Some of y'all are like, shut up, you're gonna keep them going. So we're gonna work on that atmosphere a little bit tonight. Here's what we're gonna do tonight. Or today. Standing all over this room. We started doing this last month, and we're going to continue to do this. I'm not going to tell you when we're going to do it because you'll start scheduling not to be here if you don't want to do this. We're going to do this on a regular basis, at least once a month. We're going to have what we call our communion groups. In just a few minutes, I'm going to ask you guys just to separate. You can make circles, move chairs around. Just get in small groups, like 8 to 10 people. If our ushers can get ready to start helping pass out communion and make sure every group. Here's what we're going to do. I'm not even going to lead this time. But here's the thing, man. We've got to have. There's more to. Like I said, this whole. There's more to church than just showing up, sitting in a seat, and listening to the preacher preach and the band sing, and you sing some songs. It's about what we are able to do when we connect together, and it's in our connection together that God creates an atmosphere that God begins to move. Amen. And if we don't intentionally schedule times to make that happen, this just becomes another show that we go watch. I got to be honest. You could find a better show. You could. You could find better music. You could find better preaching. You don't need, especially in our digital world, you don't need any of this unless we have that face-to-face connection.
Amen.
In the book of 1 John, in the very beginning of the book, he's writing this letter to the church. And he says this. He says, I have much more to say to you. He says, but I'm going to wait until I can say it to you face to face, because he recognized that there were some things that only could happen from a face to face interaction. Amen? That's what this is about. So we're going to have some face to face time together with one another. The second thing I want to share with you is before we're going to break into groups, and then when you guys are done having community together, listen, I want you guys, if you have a prayer need, this is the time to share it. If you need prayer, this is the time. Pray for one another. Share with one another. Say, this is the time to do that. This is what church is about, bearing one another's burdens. Here's the other thing we're going to be starting this brand new. We're going to launch it next week. So I want you guys to be ready for this. Because I think to myself, okay, they met in house to house daily. Are we supposed to meet together house to house daily? Man, in the world we live in today in 2019, I don't know if that would work. I don't know if that would work. Honestly, we've done it for 5 years. The life groups were kind of that house-to-house connection. I got to be honest, it worked for a little while, but it hasn't worked for a couple years, so we're going to move some things around, do some things. In our era of 2019, what does house-to-house, what would it look like to meet house-to-house on a regular basis? You know what it might look like? We don't even have, here's the great thing about our world today and the beauty of technology. I don't have to go to your house to meet with you. I can meet with you and have a real connection and conversation with you right here, wherever I am. So next week, listen, we are launching something brand new, a brand new way for us to connect, because we recognize that maybe the first and third Wednesday of every month might not be the best, 7 o'clock. Maybe that time doesn't work for you to connect. Maybe it's 1 a.m. and you need some encouragement and you need a place to go. Guess what? chances are you're already going there anyway. We might as well redeem it and do something godly with it. So next week, we're going to have what we call Facebook Group Sign Up Sunday. We're going to launch this next Sunday morning. Well, we're going to start through the Red Life Facebook page, okay? And if we need help signing up next week, we're going to be ready to help sign you up. We want to make sure I'm looking for 150% participation if we can. We're going to start through a Red Life Facebook page, a Red Life group, a Red Life chat group. And on a regular basis, on a daily basis, or at least 4 to 5 times a week, just like when we had discussion questions, I'm gonna be on there posting discussion questions, and we can talk and talk about what God's doing in our lives from the messages that week. If you have a prayer need, you can go there and type prayer. Maybe 1 in the morning, you got a call, and you want to know some people are going to be connected to pray with you. You can put that prayer request on there. Come on, somebody. How many think that's something God can use? How about we use these tools in our pockets and these? Listen. You're already on. Most of you are already on social media. If you don't post there, you go there and look, and you get fired up. How about we do something else with Facebook other than post about whether or not you're a Democrat or Republican or voting for Trump or voting for somebody else? How about we do something else with any all that, and we make that a place where we can grow in our walks with God together? Amen. How about it's a place that you could also invite some of your friends to come and be a part of the group before they ever show up at the door? And they can go ahead and belong before they believe. Amen, somebody. And then when they do show up, they've already talked to 7, 8 other people. I'm just saying, I don't know what God can do with this. I just believe it's a tool that we need to use. Amen. Amen, somebody. So get ready. Next Sunday, we are going to take time right here in service. And we're going to ask everybody to join that group right there. The group's already made. It's going to go public in just a little bit. And then we're just going to see what God does with it. We might end up starting, there's going to be one group. We might end up doing a women's group or a parents group or a toddler, parents of toddlers. We can divide it up however we need to have some different discussion and make sure people are in. But we're just going to let God use it. Amen. I believe that could be house to house for 2019. Amen. And fit into your schedule. And you can get on there. And so that's going to be our one of our big group pushes. Amen? Amen. I want to pray, and then I want to give you guys time to connect in prayer with one another. Heavenly Father, we love you so much. We thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that you are calling us and you are creating in us, God, every part of the atmosphere, every part of the environment. Lord, I just want to see you move. I don't want to see you move just yesterday. I don't want to see you just move today. I don't even want to just see you move next week. I want to see you move 20 years from now, 30 years from now, 40 years from now if you tarry. Amen. And Lord, I know the only way to see that seed produce is to create the right environment. And Lord, I pray that in this house, you would help us create that right and proper environment that will make it easy for you to move and do everything and anything you want to do. And God, we surrender this time to you right now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Why don't you